We're excited to be ringing in the new year with our sponsor, Manscaped. The creators of the greatest ball trimmer are entering the new year with two new products to up your hygiene game and smell amazing. The Persevere Cologne and Persevere Body Wash are here, and we have a special offer as our New Year's present to you. Go to manscaped.com/Silverman for 20% off plus free shipping. I love Manscaped. I trim my bush with it. I trim Rory's neck and back with it. Rory trims his bush and balls with it. It's for the whole family. I guess the whole adult family. You can get all this and more when you go to manscaped.com/Silverman for 20% off plus free shipping. Get 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com/Silverman. That's 20% off with free shipping by going to manscaped.com/Silverman. Happy New Year to his balls. Hey everyone, it's your old pal Sarah Silverman. How you doing this week? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm not gonna kind of voice any opinions or anything right now. I was gonna put this in my own words and like write about it, but really it's about just pushing information out there. So Raj here got an email from an Iranian-American comedian named Sarah Fatemi. And did I say your last name right? Fatemi? Is that like a very Italian kind of way to pronounce it? Fatemi? Fatima? Like Fatima? You know, like, is it Fatemi?
Yeah. I think it's Fatemi, but...
I think, let's go with Fatemi. I should ask her. It's not cool. But anyway, comedian here in America who's Iranian, Sarah Fatemi, reached out to Raj and said, you know, we need to just push information out about what's going on in Iran, specifically about this comedian, the only woman comedian in Iran who did 25. Well, I'm going to read everything she wrote because I just want to get it right. And I'm going to just tell you facts. And as much as you can be loud and push this stuff out there, it's going to really help the people speaking out in Iran who are being punished for it. This is from Sarah Fatemi. Hi, Raj. I'm an Iranian-American stand-up comedian who works with comedians in Iran. My acquaintance and first ever female stand-up comedian in the country, Zainab Mousavi, has been sentenced to 2 years in jail for speaking out at the protests. She was recently held in solitary confinement for 25 days for a joke she made about Iran's police brutality. She's now in danger of sexual/physical/psychological torture and possibly execution, like the other 18,000 protesters currently detained. I researched and saw that you were one of the producers of Sarah Silverman's podcast. Given her large platform, it would be so beneficial if she could talk about it. The only way to help the people of Iran is to spread awareness, especially when it comes to specific people. If the Iranian government knows that the world is watching, they are less likely to inflict harm on their detainees and release them. We need to be a voice of the people of Iran. The world may never pay attention to Iran like this ever again. Remember, I've said before how if you Google like Iran in the 1970s, it's like women in bikinis. It's a total hippie culture. This is something that happened to Iran. And my point being, it could happen here. And hopefully they're starting to maybe take a turn to get back to being free people and not ruled by fundamentalist religion. Do you see any parallels happening? Are you afraid? But even hopefully this does not happen here. It happened there, and women are finally fighting, even though they know what they're risking. 18,000 people detained for just fighting for basic human rights and freedoms.
Here's some ads.
If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. You know, I found this this one on their site. It's a Save the Bees gift set. This conscientious collection provides food, water, and shelter for these incredible insects that keep us alive. I think that would be a really cool gift. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. So eclectic. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choosing. They've donated more than $2.5 million so far. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Silverman. That's uncommongoods.com/Silverman for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
And we're back.
So here are some relevant facts that Sarah Fatemi sent to us. Zainab Mousavi, this is the comedian. She has an Instagram page. They took it down, but check it out. What's there? She does. You won't understand it because it's in Farsi? Boom. Well, I'm actually proud of myself for something I should absolutely have known anyway. But you can translate what she writes and whatever. Zainab Mousavi is Iran's first ever female stand-up comedian. She hails from the holy city of Qom, Q-O-M, which is the most religious city in Iran and the birthplace of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. She's been sentenced to 2 years in jail, and her only crime was telling jokes, though the sentence could be lightened in an appeals court. She has been banned from television. They took her Instagram page, and she cannot perform stand-up. She was arrested in a raid in her father's home. This revolution that's been happening for over 3 months there is not just about the morality police. It's hard to get great information as to what's happening because of the government and media limitations. Over 18,000 protesters have been arrested and are held in harsh conditions, including but not limited to solitary confinement, rape, beatings, and being drugged to the point that once they are released, their liver fails and they commit suicide. Apparently that happened. Many prominent actors, rappers, and athletes have been detained as well for supporting the protests. So the people there that have platforms that have spoken out have been taken in and arrested. On November 25th, 2022, the United Nations held a special session on Iran, and the majority voted on an investigation on the Islamic Republic's crimes against humanity, but no action has yet taken place. What can we do to help? Be loud about it. Get people with platforms to be loud about it. Let the Iranian government know that we are watching, whether it be on podcasts or social media posts or online publications. Iran. I am saying Iran, but it could be Iran, but I think it's Iran, but that could be my mother.
I think I'm like 90% certain it's Iran.
Yeah. All right. Iran, baby. All right. Don't be so light about it. This is serious, Sarah. Iran started executing protesters who had been officially sentenced to death. Fucking shit. Spreading awareness about those sentenced to death and hashtagging their names so that they become well-known is the best thing we can do to help Iranians at this time. Interesting, okay. The more we hashtag the names of protesters in danger of execution, the more likely the regime is to spare their life. Okay, we got to do that. Here are some of the protesters who have been officially sentenced and are in immediate danger. We'll post this, so check it out on YouTube. If you're watching this, I will just not do well I'll try to say it, at Too Maj Official. T-O-O-M-A-J Official. Is an anti-regime rapper currently under severe torture in prison. So that would be hashtag Too Maj Salehi. Saman Yassin. Again, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but it's at S-A-M-A-N-Y-A-S-I-N org. Anti-regime Kurdish-Iranian rapper currently under severe torture in prison. We're going to post all this. I don't want to ruin these names. But Dr. Hamid Ger Hassanlu at Iranian Diaspora Collective has a full list published on their page as well. So that's at Iranian Diaspora Collective. Here are some Iranian and Iranian-American English language activists and journalists, social media accounts for people to stay informed. We're going to post these if you're watching on YouTube. It's a lot of addresses. You cannot send money to Iran due to sanctions and government theft. There is the Abdurrahman Barumand Center. Again, we'll put this up so you can read it because I'm just an ugly American that may not be saying it correctly. They're based in Washington, D.C., which is dedicated to human rights and democracy in Iran. It's an online library dedicated to the stories of individual victims of the Islamic Republic's crimes against humanity so that once the regime is ousted, they'll be properly held accountable. We're going to post everything, all the addresses and all the sites and all the things that you need. We'll post on our YouTube page and our Apple page in the show notes. So look there if you're interested in getting involved, and I hope that you're interested in getting involved. Let's make some noise. Can you believe it? It makes a difference. And let's take some calls. Let's listen to some VMs, baby.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. My question for you is more of a story. So today's Thanksgiving. I'm on my way home from my family Thanksgiving, and my favorite uncle said something that was just fucking awful. And I didn't know how to respond. He's never said anything of this sort around me, hence him being my favorite uncle. But he just was telling me about how he likes Menards more than Walmart because it's cleaner, and his words, there's not a bunch of fat black women surrounded by kids. And now, in hindsight, I can think of a million things to say, to respond with. Even, like,
right,
I'm
always.
What would Sarah say? I would probably be like, wow, like, why don't you like seeing that? What is it about it that you don't like? But, of course, I didn't say anything because I have such a hard time vocalizing my feelings when I disagree with somebody. And then I just said, yeah, it is a lot cleaner. And that was it. But I just fucking, he's my favorite. And now it's hard for him to be my favorite. And obviously I still love so much about him, but that is so troubling. And I'm wondering if you have ever, has any of your family member ever said something terribly racist or something like that, where you just are totally blindsided by it? And what is your response? And is there anything that I could do now, after the fact, to respond in a non-weird way?
I've not experienced that with my mother's mother was a monster. But besides her, I don't have that within my family. But certainly, my first many years in the comedy community, there was a lot of heartbreaking things said by people I admired. And gee, this is a tough one. Like, what would Sarah do? WWSD. I don't know. My knee-jerk reaction is maybe I'd say to him, like, holy shit, is my favorite uncle racist? And then just put it in his court, you know, like, oh no. But I don't know what I would do. Maybe I would just not say anything just like you and just think of him differently, which is unfortunate. It's tough because, you know all these wonderful things about him that have made him your favorite uncle. I only know that he said this racist thing, you know? So it's hard for me to go, oh, but, you know, I don't have a context to say, or even an idea that he could be open to hearing you say something to him about it. You know, my guess is he probably wouldn't, you know, be like, hey, you're right, I'm being racist. Maybe you're his favorite niece and he'll listen to you. I don't know. Maybe if you say, when you say stuff like that, it makes me think of you differently. Is this how you really think of people? Or maybe you just love the parts of him that you love and love him anyway, and hope that the way that you see the world and the way that you see people rubs off on him. I don't know. Good luck. What else?
Here's some ads.
Ooh, I love Masterclass. I mean, you have all the knowledge of all the greats on your phone, on your laptop, anywhere you want it, delivered directly from them. I mean, it's freaking amazing. Every time I log on to Masterclass, there seems to be a new amazing world-renowned instructor. Some of the ones I've recently seen are Esther Perel teaches relational intelligence, Chris Voss and the Art of Negotiation, Bob Iger teaches business strategy. And there's so many more instructors you can learn from. Anything you're interested in, there is an expert you've heard of in that field telling you everything they know. There's over 100 exclusive classes taught by the instructors you know and love, and cinema quality classes that give you unparalleled access to renowned instructors. And to make it even more convenient for you, Masterclass is accessible on your phone, web, or smart TV. Gone are the days where you can only learn inside a classroom. I highly recommend you check it out. It's so awesome, and it's the best gift. This holiday, give the perfect gift of an annual Masterclass membership and get one free for yourself or someone else. Go to masterclass.com/Sarah today. That's masterclass.com/Sarah. Terms apply. Did you know that property crimes like burglaries and package thefts, they spike over the winter? That's why now is the best time to secure your home with award-winning home security. SimpliSafe is the home security system I recommend to everybody. Make it your resolution to start the new year with greater peace of mind and safety for you and your family. Here's why I love it. When I give it to my friends, I know that they will be safe and that if anything happens, it will be taken care of. And that just makes me feel more secure about my friends and their friends, and everyone we get to use SimpliSafe. With the top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust system settings. SimpliSafe's customer-first policies make sure you're taken care of with affordable plans starting at less than a dollar a day, and no long-term contract or hidden fees, because feeling safe at home should not break the bank. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplisafe.com/Silverman. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplisafe.com/Silverman. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. This is Preston, a longtime listener. I keep hearing you. I'm not sure if this has been addressed since, but I heard on an old episode that you were trying to come up with a word, a female alternative for the word emasculated and defeminized. Is that not?
All right.
You know,
yeah,
the female counterpart. I'm not sure. I might be totally off base, but just thought I'd call in and see if that might jog your memory in the right direction. Thanks. Have a good one.
I think that's probably the most accurate word. Oh, it just makes me feel defeminized. So I guess I just have to get used to it. There's something unsatisfying about it, although the word itself, what it means is a feeling that is unsatisfying or a feeling of being less than, of not being a woman, a whole, wholly a woman. I don't know. Defeminized. Yeah. All right. What else?
Hi, this is Matt from Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. Been listening to you in my recycling truck during the day. Big fan. Think you're hilarious, and I've always really liked anything you've been in. I just heard you talking about your almost fight with Rory, and you mentioned the pit bull locking jaw thing. That's a big pet peeve of mine, because I have a couple of dogs that are considered bully breeds, and they're anatomically no different. The jaw thing is a total myth, and it's one of the things that people use to give these dogs a bad name. They're actually the sweetest things you'll ever meet, and all they want to do is cuddle and jump on top of you and kiss you. So, again, just love the podcast, love everything you do, but wanted to let you know that. And hello from me and my dogs. Aww. Have a great day.
I love hearing his truck in the background. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I am ignorant in that and acting out of fear when I talk about that. I am afraid of, I have a fear around those dogs, and you're right. And I have friends who have pit bulls, and they're like babies. They're their babies, and they're snuggly and sweet. And thank you for correcting me. All right. What else?
Hey, Sarah, it's Laurie from Scotland again. In one of your newer podcasts, you played a voicemail I sent you when I'd found out I was about 9 weeks pregnant and wasn't sure what to do. Shortly after I sent you that email, I had what I thought was a miscarriage. Turned out it was one of two babies. And when I thought I'd lost the baby, I was absolutely devastated and heartbroken. And really upset. So when I found out I was actually still pregnant about a week later after having some bloods and a scan, I decided to go through with the pregnancy. I have since found out I'm having a boy, and my new conundrum or issue is, how do I raise a good man? Obviously, we talk a lot, or you talk a lot on your show about toxic masculinity and the impact that men have on the world and how to be aware of that. And I was just wondering if any of your listeners even have any tips for me to ensure that I raise a good man. I like to think I'm a good person and I can do that, but I don't know anything about boys, clearly. So, yeah, any tips on how to put a good man into the universe who is not toxic and, yeah, brings it all. Love you lots. Thanks for everything. Hope your operation went well. Bye.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much for calling back. And congratulations. And how can you raise a good man? You know, I'm childless, so fuck me. But if you're asking me, here's my opinion. How to raise a good man? I guess the same way you would raise any kid of any gender or no gender or whatever the fuck. Raise them to be strong and to stand up to others and to stand up for others and to acknowledge and examine their own feelings and to know that they're loved and to be generous and to know that they're responsible for their own happiness and that that's a sacred and an important responsibility. and to not fear being wrong, and to enjoy and understand the fruits of apologizing or being sorry. Just raise a good kid, a good person. You don't have to put gender on it, you know? He's going to be who he is. I don't think there's you don't want to overcorrect. He's just this new being coming into the world. He's just going to be the person you raise him to be, with the influences that are all around him. And I think you're going to be great. There you go. What else? Good luck. Call again. Call in 10 years. Let me know how he's doing.
Hi, Sarah. It's your best friend, Mara. Just calling because I'm doing my laundry and some old episodes of yours kind of came into my feed. Mm-hmm. And there was one from 2020 when you were talking about energy and how you say hi to people that you see on the street who are struggling with mental illness. And
I say, I see you.
It just made me realize what an impact that had had on my day-to-day life. And I wanted to tell you a quick story. During like the height of lockdown, my daughter, who was 5 at the time, was home with me, and it was so intense and horrible. And we have a neighbor who we've had for many years who struggles with, she sees people and talks to herself and things like that. And she would walk by our house every day. And when it wasn't lockdown, we never noticed. But because it's lockdown, we notice. And one day, my daughter went running outside, and she waves, and she's like, hi! And the lady kind of stopped and looked at her. And my daughter came back inside and was like, oh, good. I wanted to make sure she saw me. I was like, why? And she said, she just looks so sad. And, oh, like broke my heart. She's right. She does look sad. So now we always say hi to her. And I don't think it makes much of a difference probably, but some days she sees us and says hi back. And it's just really beautiful.
Oh, I love that story. Thank you so much for calling in. And I believe it matters, even if it only matters to you, even if it only changes how you feel and your daughter, and that you got to see your daughter do that. But I think that when she says hi back, it's really something. Even if she's doing it for you, even if she's taking care of your feelings, that's really something, right? Ah, I love it. I love that stuff. I find it fascinating. All right, what else we got?
Hi, Sarah. This is Sam calling from Chicago. A big fan of your podcast. Been listening ever since your first episode. So I have a question for you. Do you watch John Oliver at all? And if so, he did a special, I think it was like a couple weeks back, maybe 3 or 4 weeks back, about Law and Order.
Huh, and, I didn't see that.
It was a very interesting episode about how Law and Order is created by Dick Wolf, and he's a very pro-cop, has a very pro-cop stance. And he creates his shows to kind of glorify the police. And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that, or if you've ever thought about that show in a way. I know that Law & Order is one of your favorite shows to unwind. Mm. So I don't want to harsh your mellow or anything. But I was just wondering your thoughts about that. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Great question. Well, yes and no, but one of the elements that I love about it is that I don't always agree with some of my favorite characters that I love so much. You know, Jack McCoy fights for the death penalty like all the time. You know, sometimes Ed Green will fudge the rules and it fucks up the case for the prosecutors. It's also like super soft core, you know. It's not gritty Law and Order. It's I don't know. I, you know, also what I like on TV is not necessarily what I like in real life. You know, I watch Walking Dead and I'm like, get the guns! Get, you know, like, you know what I mean? I love any show about like a renegade cop or some rogue justice citizen. In real life, those people are like Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, it's just, it's very, very different. But I love that stuff. I love Jack Ryan, you know, going off on his own, even though they told him to stand down or, you know, shit like that. It doesn't necessarily translate in life directly in a way that I would ever support. But that's the fantasy of art, especially, you know, Law and Order started in 92. And I love watching those early episodes. They're so well done. But boy, a lot of them, you know, in many ways don't hold up in ways that are really interesting because they do reflect how things have been. They don't always, you know, reflect how things are. Now the newer ones are like, you can see like a lot of liberal infusion in there. They'll have scenes where the cops are disagreeing and discussing things that are real cultural discussions, you know. But fuck, I don't know. The heart wants what it wants. What else?
Here's some ads.
Tis the season for holiday parties, but is your place entertaining ready? Well, Article has everything you need to set yourself up for effortless entertaining all season long with their stunning range of living and dining room furniture and decor. I love my living room chairs. They are from Article. I get so many compliments. They make me so happy. They're so gorgeous. These teal seats with this wood, like oak wood back. It's so pretty. I also have a bed frame from them that is this mid-century with side tables built in. It's gorgeous. Article combines the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of shopping online. Article's team of designers focuses on beautifully crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction. Article cuts out the middleman and sells directly to you. No showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups. You save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/Sarah and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/Sarah for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. This is Allison. I'm an American living in the Netherlands. And I was calling about a recent call you had on your show regarding the checkbox for which race you are and how it was eliminating the choice of Jewish.
Right.
So I learned something because I'm on the diversity and inclusion team at my company, and we don't ask about race in the Netherlands. And that really goes back to World War II, where people were classifying different races, Jewish being one of them. And it's funny because in an attempt to not classify people by race, we actually have a really big struggle in our diversity and inclusion group when we want to show KPIs and show that we're actually having more diversity in our corporation. We have a really hard time proving that because we actually just can't count. But you got me thinking about that. And yeah, I just thought it was interesting and what your thoughts are. Anyway, love your show and keep at it. Thanks. Bye.
That's really interesting. You know, I mean, there are a lot of like well-intended things or things that you maybe a place doesn't want to touch because of touchiness. You know, I remember that call. I was like, yeah, why isn't there a Jewish box? And I'm like, well, if there was a Jewish box, I'd be like, why is there a Jewish box? You know, it's like, you know, a lot of people in Black culture, Black American culture that don't want to fill out censuses, you know, but censuses are important to know all that stuff. So that, you know, the sum of all of your parts, the parts of all of your sum, I guess, you know, like what makes up your world or what makes up your company, or, you know, if you're I don't know. I don't know if I'm being clear or if I'm even thinking clearly, but I think you know what I mean. That there is something to having a bead on the makeup of your world or your country or your city or your company, or to make sure that it's diverse, or to be able to serve the different cultures that make up where you are, you know? I know, like, I always am Googling, like, how many, you know, what's the ratio of, you know, just because I want to know who's here and are they attended to? Are they reflected in society? Are they, you know, and it's, you know, I'm always looking like, how many Jews are in the world? How many Jews are in what countries? You know, because I'm fucking such a Jew head these days, which, you know, really never was. I mean, yeah, you know, that censuses particularly. And you know, I think like in doctor's offices, you go, why does my doctor need to know this? And in a way, I'm surprised that there isn't like a box for Jewish, because like if you're going to a doctor, there are things like the BRCA gene that Jews can have that give you like breast cancer or some shit. I don't know. I'm probably talking out of my ass. Wait, is that right, Amy?
It is the BRCA gene, BRCA. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah. BRCA. Yeah, so we get tested, but is it a breast cancer thing or a? Yeah, it's a breast cancer thing. So, right. So like when I go to get a mammogram or whatever, they might check for that because I'm Jewish, you know, and that's not a racist thing or an anti-Semitic thing, whatever. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Gage from a small town in Illinois. You probably won't respond to this one, but I'm really flattered to have been mentioned in the podcast more than once. And I also just wanted to say really quickly that how sweet the guy that replied to my my call. Anyways, look me up on Facebook to whoever you are, beautiful human being. Anyways, so this has nothing to do with what kind of actually. So anyways, I think the reason why I was offended by her asking me that question was because I'm really
this
overly
is,
sensitive.
Hold on, could we stop a second? This is the guy who has a girlfriend that asked if while he was at work, she could like fuck a dude in his apartment, right? And he got really upset. All right. Sorry. It just hit me.
That question was because I'm a really overly sensitive person. And I kind of felt like, is that how she sees me? You know, is that how she sees me kind of being like slutty and kind of careless like that? Is that how she sees me? Do I see myself like that? Do people see me like that? And I think that the stem and the root is that I was bullied so badly. I never got a chance to stand up for myself. So I have this kind of repressed aggression and resentment towards people.
Wow.
And I don't know if that makes me overly sensitive. I'm 30 years old and I just want to be happy. I'm trying to kind of figure out why I am the way that I am. And I think kind of being on mute for so long, I've been so angry and offended, and I don't want to be so affected.
Oh, I'm so glad you called back in. What an exhausting way to live, isn't it, Gage? You touched me so deeply right now, because do you see what you realize? This is really huge. Really huge. It's so cool to get to see it. I just feel like you had such a breakthrough here, you know, like you're telling yourself, you've been telling, and this is very human nature, you've been telling yourself horror stories, and you're projecting everything you judge about yourself onto others. You're manifesting your biggest fears by being so angry at people who love you for what you imagine they are thinking. What a huge realization. You know, this is a weird example, and I don't know if you saw Nine Perfect Strangers, but I watched this limited series, Nine Perfect Strangers, and in it there's parents of a son who killed himself. And they go to this place where they're the leader is like giving the to be helped through this grief. And they're given shakes, smoothies every morning. It's like a spa, but the leader there puts drugs that she thinks you need and everything. And they're literally on psychedelics. And the mother is visited by her son whilst on these psychedelics. And the son says, "Mom, you knew this might happen." And she says, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "You know, you read the instructions of my asthma medicine. You even underlined one of the side effects was suicide. You underlined it." And she said, "What? I don't remember that." He said, "You did." And then she kind of remembers it. And he's being really hard on her. And I remember my first reaction was that, like, why would he even know about that? And, you know, what? And then, you know, as I'm saying that, I go, oh, he's not really there. He's dead. He committed suicide. This is her mind having that somewhere in her mind that she had done that. And then the psychedelic making her remember it through her son telling her. But this is all her telling herself this. This is her judging herself that she's in this psychedelic trip projecting onto her dead son. Is that clear? Am I making that clear? So it is all in her head. So much is in our heads. Gage, this is huge. You know, some people live their entire lives never having like a breakthrough like this. And you deserve love to realize that hopefully this is the lesson you're taking. You deserve love. You have people who love you, especially if you let them. You will be less judgmental if you can stop judging yourself. That's a guarantee. It is not modest, this self-loathing. It's all-encompassing. I see this out here in showbiz, in Hollywood. It's all-encompassing. Give yourself the respect you give any fucking asshole on the street. You are a weirdo, which is what makes you like everyone. Humans are weird. We have ego and angst and so much shit. It's exhausting. I heard you have this realization. It went right into my ear holes. And it's so exciting. Fucking cool. You know, you realized that hating yourself is exhausting and it takes up so much space. As soon as that clicked for you, you were able to have total empathy for your friend who asked to use your place to fuck that guy, because you realized it had nothing to do with you other than she felt close enough to ask you to do that. By the way, it's fine and even, I think, right for you to say to her, abso-fucking-lutely not, but I love you. You know, like, I think people don't realize that's an option. You can love her to pieces and have a boundary and even say it laughingly. Like, you know, I became friends with this brilliant comedian, Ahmed Weinberg, and I really don't think he'd mind me saying this. When we first met, he was, you know, like, he was a Postmate. You know, he's a brilliant writer, comedian, director. Brilliant. But he was, you know, young and struggling, and he was a Postmate, and he would Airbnb his tiny little room that he lived in. And I remember him calling me and saying, "I'm Airbnb-ing my apartment. Can I sleep on your couch?" And I said, "No, absolutely not." But it was fine for him to ask. I mean, but there's just, listen, I used to have comics on my couch all the time. I don't do that anymore. It's just not part of my happiness. But I thought it was hilarious, you know? And I said, no fucking way, you know, but I love you. And he was like, okay. He wasn't saying anything about me. This was just him in his world, in his situation, asking me a favor. And that's all it is. That was just fucking exhilarating for me, hearing him put that together. It was cool. I'm proud of you, Gage. And I'm happy for you, because this is going to be your happiness. Your whole life is going to change. Anyway, please call in and let me know how it's going, you know, once this is like really in practice. All right. What else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Alex in Atlanta. I was just calling because I'm listening to you talk to Al Franken about hysterectomy, hersterectomy, and all of the gender kind of verbiage, the language matters. And it made me think that recently I was on a photo shoot. I work for an airline, and we were talking about the cockpit and how it is no longer called a cockpit because that name was just made up. We are now calling it a flight deck because there are officially women pilots. So they're not really trying to hang out in a cockpit. So I thought you'd find that interesting if you haven't already heard it, that we are now calling it a flight deck. So spread the word. All right, thanks.
Hold on. Cockpits, like me and like pits where cocks are? Like, oh, you're the people in the front of the plane plant their cocks there and fly the plane? What is the hold on. Can you look up the etymology of cockpit? In a million years, I wouldn't think that that had anything to do with cocks or pits. I just figured it was.
Apparently, it comes from the late 16th century, dates from the early 20th century, and derives from an early 18th century nautical term denoting an area in the aft lower deck of a man of war where the wounded were taken.
It doesn't have anything to do with, like, your cock. Not your cock. One's cock. Wonder why they changed it. I wonder what that is, what the origin of the word is. Cockpit.
I found another thing that says the original meaning was literally pit where a cockfight happens.
That doesn't make sense either for the place where you fly a plane. All right, flight deck it is, but is there something genuinely problematic about it, or is it just the fear of hearing cockpit? Okay, flight deck sounds fine. I wouldn't compare it that change to like master bedroom and primary bedroom. You know, that's like, ugh, now it seems you can't unring that bell. Ugh, primary bedroom it is. Okay. It reminds me of that joke. What do you call a woman that flies a plane? A pilot, you fucking misogynists. You can use it with anything.
Hi, Sarah. My name is Punky. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. I was wondering if you have any fun questions that you like to ask people to get to know them a little better. And I have one for you, actually.
Okay.
I love your show. I love what you're doing. I think you're hilarious. I just wanted to put that out there. But my question for you is, to get to know you a little better, is if you had a bathtub full of anything and could bathe in it, what would it be?
Wow. Great question. And the answer is hot water. But there you go. Maybe some Epsom salt in there. Non-scented. Love it. Did it this morning. What would be my icebreaker questions? I don't know. Hey, what are you into? What do you do? What's your life like? What are your passions? Hey, what are you watching? Would be a big, probably is the most common. Here's a good one. How do you wash your asshole? I feel like, you know, it's different for everyone. Raj, you know that question because that was like when we worked on the Hulu show, I was like, that's something you can ask everyone and it's universal. Everybody does it and everyone has their own style. And then I thought about like, I don't know, how do I wash my asshole? And then I realized I like to use that Dr. Bronner's liquid soap, which is, you know, some lunatic makes, I guess, Dr. Bronner. And it's like covered in like Bible stuff and everything. But man, does this guy make soap. I lather up my pubes and then I take that lather and I suds up my vagina through to the asshole area. All right, this is the last episode of the year. We're going to take a couple episodes off because, hey, we deserve it. And I'll see you in the new year. And subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Or check us out with your eyes on our YouTube page if you're a more visual type. Bye.
Hey, I wanna
Hey.
Hey, you fucker.